Okay, the call to worship this morning comes from the Doctrine and Covenants, section 45, starting at 1A. Hearken, O ye people of my church, to whom the kingdom has been given. Hearken ye, and give ear to him who laid the foundation of the earth, who made the heavens and all the hosts thereof, and by whom all things were made, which live and move and have being. And again I say, hearken unto my voice, lest death shall overtake you in an hour when you think not. The summer shall be past and the harvest ended, and your souls not saved. Listen to him who is the advocate with the Father, who is pleading your cause before him, saying, Father, behold the sufferings and death of him who did no sin, in whom thou wast well pleased. Behold the blood of thy Son, which was shed, the blood of him whom thou gavest, that thyself might be glorified. Wherefore, Father, spare these, my brethren, that believe on my name, that they may come unto me and have everlasting life. May we continue with the use of hymn number 317. And when you find your place, would you please rise? 317.
Behold the Savior at your door. Your kindness, truest friend, is seeking entrance to your heart. Your life with his to blend. The Savior's knocking at your door and asking entrance in. He's knocking as door and door. Open unto him.
Would you please bow with me? Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we look forward to this peaceful hour, thanking and glorifying you for all things within our lives, even at this very moment. We are thankful for this house where we can come together and worship thee. We are thankful for all that you have given unto us, Father, and pray now that you would be with me as speaker of the hour, that those words which are brought forth would be those words which you have placed upon my heart, and that the ears of the saints would be opened to hear those words, that it would make us all a better and more righteous people to go forth and do thy bidding. Be with us this hour, Father. Be with those who cannot be here. Bless those who are in need, for our prayer list is growing greatly. Bless them with that which they need. We pray this in the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want to talk a little bit about that place that is being prepared for us and what that exactly means for us here today in our lives that we're living right now, because we're making those building blocks, if you will, at this time. And I want to read this verse. It's from John 14, 1 through 3. We all know this verse, but it's very important that we have understanding of what it contains. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go, I will prepare a place for you and come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may also be. What a wonderful, wonderful scripture reading that is. What a promise that is. Just a wonderful, wonderful, isn't it? That thought that comes into your mind and your heart as we look at, and that's why we're told to read the Bible and study the all good books, is because those feelings that even we can have right now just from reading these few words are for us to have every day all through our lives. Certainly every person longs for stability in the midst of this changing world. Is that not true? Everybody's looking for stability. They just want to know But ultimately, our security on this earth only arises out of the knowledge of God's kingdom, which shall come, and our opportunity to be there. And I want you to know that, note that word opportunity. It's not a done deal. It's an opportunity that has been opened unto us, because we already know the scriptures tell us that not everyone should enter into that kingdom. God's kingdom is the ultimate answer to the longing within the human heart for an eternal home. This has been a fundamental desire of mankind since the days of Adam. It goes back to the very beginning. And that which is within us, that longing for us to be with our Heavenly Father. Why? Pretty easy answers. Because God's kingdom, in there you will find safety. It's a place of rest. A place where there are perfect understanding of who we are. A place of permanent residence. In God's kingdom, there will be no more wandering around, trying to figure out where we're supposed to be, going here and there within this world. It's a permanent residence if we get there. Of joy, peace, and rest. Think about it. How wonderful. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, Paul writes this, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, no ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." He's just asking for us to love him and recognize him for who he is, the very one that created us. And in turn, he will take care of us. We will find rest. We will find that peace that we're looking for. God's kingdom is going to be glorious, brothers and sisters. We should be happy. The only thing that makes us nervous is if we're living our lives the way we should be now. We all know that we're going to die. It is set for man to die once. It's the second death that we got to worry about, is it not? And we all have opportunity, while it's still yet day, for us to build those mansions to the highest extent we can, to glorify God, not to glorify ourselves. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Each one of us. My question is for each of you today, and I wish there was many more for that purpose, to hear this question. What kind of building material are we giving Christ to work with in the building of our mansion? Let's look at another one of Paul's letter. We're going to spend a little bit of time in 1 Corinthians today, because Paul's writings are just... I hear them and they speak to me. It sounds like something that everybody needs to hear for today, not just for the people back then. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. This is important. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That is the foundation, brothers and sisters. None other. He is the perfect example. He is the building block. Our life needs to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, who is truly our perfect example. One way to think about it is that every motive, every deed, now listen to these going together. There's a motive behind everything we do, is there not? I want you to think. Every motive, then every deed that we do, and word that we speak, is a building block for our spiritual house that Christ is working on right now. All that we have said and all that we have done in the name of Jesus will be incorporated into that structure. But be aware, this is the warning, sin, negative attitudes, good deeds done to others for the wrong reasons, such things will also be considered in that same building material. We have to take care in everything that we do, in all the things that we do. The Apostle Paul warned believers to build with care because one day of judgment, the judgment would come of fire, and that will test the quality of each person's life. You're not fooling nobody, brothers and sisters. God's watching us right now. He's checking everything that we do. 1 Corinthians 3:13 says this, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." And there is truth to be told there. Everything's going to be brought out in the open. You know, on that last day, perfect judgment, as we all know, we're going to be given perfect understanding. And you're not going to be able to argue with the Lord and say, but. He's going to say, no, these are the things you did, or these are the things that I asked you to do and you didn't do. It's the way it is. You can't argue with me. You're looking at it right now. You can see it. And I am going to make a just judgment according to that. What we have to realize is that our time here right now is just the beginning of a wonderful journey towards eternity. We must realize that each day is a blessing, first of all. Each day we get up is a blessing. We should be getting up and thanking God that we're alive, that we have another day of opportunity to correct things that need to be corrected and to help others that need to be helped. We need to use these days wisely in preparation for our eternal home. Not that we might boast on our own needs or our own deeds as we're out there doing things, but that we might glorify God in all that we do. So here's a wise plan according to that. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, it says this. I want you to think about these words, because we like to do this sometimes, I think. It says, "Boast not of thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Those words are crucial in our thoughts, because I want you to know something. A prideful person can do the greatest thing one day and the very next day brought down to the lowest estate. Can he not? You know, we might think that we're doing okay, but I want you to realize, I know we've talked about this before, we're just so close to being that person that doesn't have a house, doesn't have a car, doesn't have food on our table. We're not that far away. The difference is, for many, is that they continue to rely upon the Lord, and the Lord continues to bless them. But the things that we're blessed with, we have to be good, wise stewards over, or we will lose them. They'll be taken away. Okay, let's get back to the structure that we're working on. And it all starts. For some of us, maybe it's going to start right now, right here. We're going to change our way of thinking. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, once again, starting at verse 16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy." That's pretty harsh, but it's also at the same time pretty simple. "For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." We have been created in his image. We are to abide by his law, his commandments, and his rules, and not defile our temples, our bodies. Now, some people like to say, well, how about just a little bit here and there? And that'll be okay. Surely the Lord will overlook that. No. No, I've caught myself doing that myself from time to time here and there. No, that is not right. God wants us to be our best, the way that he has created us. Do not defile this temple in which we live in. "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." In other words, let him become a fool, because then he's able to be saved and sanctified and have opportunity to enter into the kingdom. "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God," and it is. You look at the world and you see what's going on now, whew, and some people think they're just doing the right thing. because they're full of the wisdom and those things of this world, but not so in God's eyes. The problem is to know and to understand the things of God and His nature, we have to be spiritually minded. We can't be worldly minded. We have to take ourselves and set ourselves apart from the world. Be that peculiar person. That's not a bad thing. It just means that you're not fitting in with the rest of the people in the world and doing worldly things. It means that you're standing up for what God, who God is, and falling under His grace and His majesty. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, except he has the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. God will not hold nothing back unto us if we look to Him. He will give us all the things that we need, both the information and those things that we need to sustain us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. He don't want to hear them. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That is so important that we understand that. If we are not sound spiritually, how is God going to talk to us and we're going to know it's Him and we're going to understand what He's trying to tell us? But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I want to ask you something. How is it that you think that the Lord's going to instruct you in anything if you don't have the ability to be connected and listen to Him? It's like going on the phone and typing in the wrong number and talking to someone different than you really wanted to talk to. How can we understand? How can we hear Him if we don't know Him? Talk to your Lord. Get to know Him. God wants to hear from you. I don't think we do that enough. But here's how to begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I want to tell you something, that's a big problem in the world today. People do not want to put away those things that they, and those ways of thinking of when they were a kid. They tell you, be a kid for life. What a great way to go. But you hang on to those childish things, you hang on to those childish ways of thinking, and you don't gain the knowledge that the Lord wants you to have and the understanding that is within it. Let's go all the way back. All the way back to Genesis chapter 6. And we find ourselves, chapter 6, starting at verse 57. And the Lord spake unto Adam, saying, Inasmuch as thy children are conceived in sin, even so, when they begin to grow up, sin conceiveth in their hearts. And they taste the bitter, that they may know to prize the good. And it is given unto them to know good from evil, wherefore they are agents unto themselves. That's like the double-edged swords right there. We're agents unto ourselves. We can do whatever we want. We can do good, or we can choose not to. And I have given unto you another law, which is very important, which I don't think is being done enough. Wherefore teach it unto your children, that all men everywhere must repent, or they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. That needs to be made known, even today. You know, parents don't like other people telling them what their kids should be doing, do they? In fact, they get downright offended and defensive. And yet people need to know. We are called to be a repentant people because we are sinners, brothers and sisters. Every one of us are sinners. And it is through Christ and the mercy of our Heavenly Father, and that's the only way that we're able to become sanctified. Christ is our perfect example. I want you to think of what he's done for us, all the way up to hanging on the cross, proving through the resurrection that there is life after this, showing to the people, such as the brother of Jared, that we will have body. How wonderful to have that knowledge, that fullness. We need to know these things and we need to share them. They're not for us to keep to ourselves. A lot of people don't want to hear. But as the Lord says, even one soul saved is great, and the heavens rejoice. One person you talk to that is accepting of that, and it finds its place placed in their heart, and then the Lord can water that and grow that seed within them. And they make their own choice, and they begin to be renewed through Christ Jesus and have a testimony of their own of the greatness of God and the plan, knowing about eternity, knowing about the glories, and all those things that are contained within the scriptures. The last scripture from Genesis, there was two lessons that we can take from there. Taste the bitter, that we may know to prize the good. And that all men, everywhere, must repent, or they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. And he's not just saying, well, hey, this is for you and you and you. This is all men everywhere. Because God knew that everyone was going to be sinful. So he put that out there for everyone. Yes, we do have to taste the bitter once in a while. But if you don't have one side, how would you know the other? So that we can know the sweet. And we can make an adjustment in our lives. And we repent because we learn from our experiences. And we go forward after we repent and we become a changed person. We don't go and do the same thing over again and think that, well, I'm just going to ask the Lord forgiveness. Everything's going to be okay and I can go do the same thing again. That's not so. Repentance in itself means to be changed. It's a learning experience there. Have we finally learned to be more spiritual, putting the worldly things aside? That's my question for each one of you and myself. Have we learned to put the worldly creature comforts, if you will, aside and give time to God, praying to him for direction and discernment in all things, and then listening? We might not always like the things we hear, but realize he knows better than us. And he will not lead you astray. He will lead you in that straight and narrow path. But we have to listen. And we have to be courageous. And we have to be ready to move when we feel that spirit within us. Here is the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I sing with the understanding also. You know, there's a lot to be said. We try to pray. We do. And sometimes I think we pray in vain because we don't allow the Spirit to be with us. You allow the Spirit to be with you in your prayers, and it will lead you to pray the way that you're supposed to pray and to pray about those things. I don't know how many of you have had experience where you've sat down and said, okay, I'm just going to pray that the Lord thank him for the day and kind of get my rest. And next thing you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes, might be an hour later for some, you're still praying because things keep coming to your mind that you need to be praying about. That's the Spirit leading you, and that's how we're supposed to be led. We're supposed to be Spirit-led so that we can have the understanding that the Lord has. When you study, do you pray before you study? Very important that the Lord will help you understand the way he wants you to understand. Not the way the world sees it, but the way he wants you to see it. The truth and the light because of the Spirit. We must do these things to be spiritually minded and have good building material for Christ to use in building our mansions. That's the way it is. be spiritually minded. And you might say, well, Rex, that's going to be so difficult. I'm going to have to do something. Well, yes, we're going to have to stop for a moment during the day or multiple times as we're called to and talk to the Lord and praise Him and thank Him, even if we're having a bad day. It's the way it is. And the Lord will see you through. He wants to hear from you, not just when you're having a good time or not just when you're having a bad time, all the time, praising Him. You're having a bad day, ask the Lord, where's your glory in this? Help me, Lord. I need to get through this. It might be because we're going to help someone else through a situation that was the same as ours. We don't know it at the time, but we thank our Lord. And again, maybe it's because we know to need to know a little bit of the bitter to know the sweet. We're always being tested, brothers and sisters, every day of our lives, every moment. We're being tested. He wants a proven people that have had our feet put to the fire, if you will. Tried. Don't let Satan win. I find myself saying that often now. Don't become angered. Don't become distracted. Don't let Satan win. He's doing a good job. He's pulling a lot of people away, pushing them into this world, going to and fro, if you will, on that ocean. Don't allow that. Here's a word of warning. This is from 2 Peter. I'm going to skip around a little bit, but I'm going to start at verse 1, chapter 3. This epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. I feel that he's talking to us. I really do. In which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that in the last days there shall come scoffers, walking after their own lusts, denying the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things must continue as they are, and have continued as they are from the beginning of the creation. For this they are ignorant of, that old the heavens and the earth standing in the water and out of the water were created by the word of God. And by the word of God, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, are kept in store by the same word, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But concerning the coming of the Lord, beloved, I would not have you ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, and concerning, as some men count, slackness, but long-suffering towards us, not willing. He loves us so much, brothers and sisters, I have to add that. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall shake and the earth also shall tremble, and the mountains shall melt and pass away with great noise, and the elements shall be filled with fervent heat. The earth also shall be filled, and the corruptible works which are therein shall be burned up. I'm going to go down to, continuing on in 11. If then all these things shall be destroyed, all the wicked, think of this, if then all these things shall be destroyed, what manner of person ought ye to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking unto and preparing for the day of the coming of the Lord, wherein the corruptible things of the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the mountains shall melt with fervent heat, Nevertheless, if we shall endure, we shall be kept according to his promise, and we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Skipping down to 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know before the things which are coming, we know ahead of time, we've been warned, beware lest ye also be led away with error of the wicked. Fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What witness does God see in your lives? Have you been a good witness? Are you a good witness now? Many of us come from many different places. Some converts to the church, some have been in for life. What have we been doing all these years that we've been in the church? We've been witnessing for our Heavenly Father, talking to people about the church. I remember at the very beginning, I was shy. It took me many years before I could actually go and talk to people. I found myself having trouble explaining who we were because of the difficulties that the church has been through for the years. And yet we're called to be witnesses and share our testimonies with others around and about all the goodness that the Lord has shown unto us, why we have that good feeling in our hearts, why we're able to make it through a bad situation and still have out on the other side a smile on our face. Why? People ask all the time, do we have an answer? Does the Lord look at us now and see us as part of the body of Christ? Truly, we have to look at that and answer it within ourselves. How does God look down upon us even right now? Does he look at us as being part of the body of Christ? That person that we promised to be when we came out of the waters at baptism and were confirmed. Are we still that person? Many of us remember that very moment. Some of us struggle to remember that day. We need to remember, because we made a covenant that we would follow our Lord, that we would allow him to be our chief cornerstone, that we would allow him to be our teacher, not only through the words which we read in the scriptures, but through that which we feel in our heart, that which we know is right. Many call conscience, telling you which is right, which is wrong. I pray that we have the desire that King David had. We read this in one of the Psalms. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Do we feel that way? Do we want to dwell in the Lord's house? I leave you with this to ponder on, not just for today, but in the upcoming days. It came to me yesterday. I was watching something on TV. I told Judy I had to leave the room. I got to go write this down. Okay, I want you to think about this. And this is scriptural. This is from Luke chapter 8, verse 17. And I love this scripture because of all the stuff that's going on. We should be rejoicing because the Lord is opening our eyes. For nothing is secret which shall not be made manifest, neither hid which shall not be made known and go abroad. The Lord knows all things, and he's going to make all things made known to us. Nothing will be in secret. We will know. Just as the scripture in Romans, I believe it's 8:28, and we know, which is a big movement right now. And we know, because the love of the Lord and those that follow God, all things will work out. We know. Do we not? Do we have faith in that? I pray so. I pray that the Lord will continue to bless you. I want to thank you for coming today and hearing the word of the Lord. And I pray that you will take these words with you and go outside, not just hold them in, but go outside and share with others. The doors are always open. With all the things that are going on in this world right now, there are a lot of people that are confused, looking for some place to go where they can gain understanding. I pray that this might be that place, that the Lord can use this house and the people within this church to spread that word, to spread that message, to spread that gospel story that will rejuvenate people, pick them up and lift them up at their lowest time even, and bring them closer to the Lord.